Hey, well, what's up, everybody? Welcome to LifePoint Church, and thank you so much for being a part of our service today, now online. Of course, we had a weather event hit us here in Clarksville. We had snow and ice come through, and that's why we are doing this service for you online. I want to encourage you, no matter where you're watching from, do me a favor and share this right now. Share it on your timeline, share it on your Twitter, text the link to somebody else and let them know, hey, join me at church today. We are one church in many places already. In fact, recently I heard from our media team that we've got more people who join us online anyway than who join us in the building. So frankly, many of you who got snowed in today, you're actually joining the larger majority part of our church as they join us online every week. My name's Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as lead pastor of our church, and I'm sitting with Pastor Bo Jensen, everybody. Come on, say what's up to Pastor Bo and wherever you're at. Yeah. Hey, and we've got some of our team in the crowd today as our amen shouting. Can I get an amen?
Come on.
Got the amen corner hot and ready to go.
Come on, somebody.
Bo, today was a big day for you guys, and this Sunday was a big Sunday. However, some things transpired and didn't happen the way you wanted it. What happened?
Well, this white stuff that comes from the clouds kind of ruined our Sunday in a way, but you know what? We'll be back next Sunday. Two services,
right.
9:30, 11:15, reaching North Clarksville for Jesus.
Well, today was the day they launched two services, but you get just a little bit of a delay and get to train up a week longer and get ready for next Sunday. Clarksville does not like snow. I don't know. You've been here your whole life, and you know.
It's like if they say there's snow coming,
get your milk.
Shutting everything down.
Buy some
better
bread.
Get your milk, your bread, your eggs.
Yeah. Well, hey, today would normally be, by the way, one of the steps in our growth track, our third step in our growth track class, and we will make sure to try to get 3 and 4 offered next Sunday for you. If you're a part of our growth track process and you're in process to get on our dream team, we want to make sure that you are ready for that next Sunday. So we've got a lot of change and things that we're working on to make sure that we still kind of flow through what's going as a church. So thank you for your patience, and thanks for tuning in today. So we want to get right into the text today. Since you brought your Bibles or have them with you, I want to encourage you to jump in with me to Romans chapter 15. Now, we are in the last two chapters in the book of Romans, and we have spent, if you don't know this, maybe you're new to our church or new watching online today, we've spent since last January preaching verse by verse through all of the book of Romans. And honestly, it's a great way to preach through a book. It's great for our church. I'm a believer that the American church in general is just biblically deficient. We need to know more of the Bible, live by the Bible, hear the Bible more. And I think one of the best things we can do as pastors is preach through books of the Bible. And it teaches our congregation how to study the Bible, how to go slow through verses and passages. And then you see the part of the big story of what God is unfolding through various books in the scripture. And I love Paul's writing in the book of Romans, particularly because he's really trying to help connect all of the story of the Bible into this story of redemption and salvation. He starts in Romans chapter 1 saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We'll see that again in a minute. It is the salvation for everybody in the world. And then throughout Romans, he pulls from Noah and Adam and Eve and Moses and the patriarchs and all the prophets. Like, he's pulling all the different layers of the whole Bible into this letter that he's writing to the church at Rome. So now we get to this place where in chapters 14 in particular, he's been talking about how to get along with one another, how to be good Christians together, and how to put up with some folks. And how many of you know there's Christians at different levels and different places in their walk with God? Non-believers, new believers, old believers, some folks that need to be reminded of some things again. And he's telling us in chapter 14, man, you guys got to be patient with one another and put up with one another, and don't ever be a judgmental church. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
That's not our gift. We're not spiritually gifted to be judgmental or critical. In fact, we're called to help people along in their journey with Christ, and we want to be that kind of a church as well. And then last week, we looked at how Paul says that we need to get along with one another, and we need to never, ever, ever, never be a stumbling block to somebody else who's trying to figure out this walk with Jesus. Whether we help people stumble or cause people to stumble by living in sin, which we do, that's hypocritical, right? We don't want to be hypocrites. Or if we're causing people to stumble as believers who have been with the Lord, and you've learned some things, some freedoms maybe in your life that aren't necessarily wrong or sinful, but they could cause somebody else to stumble. He used the analogy or the story, the reality of people eating meat sacrificed to idols, and these converts to Christianity who were part of these pagan traditions where they would sacrifice animals to these idols, and they just couldn't get it in their head that now it's okay to eat that meat. But these Christians who were set free, they're like, man, I want a bologna sandwich, or I don't know that bologna was one of the pagan idols they killed to. But anyway, they were walking in freedom to eat meat because they weren't real gods, but it was causing other Christians to stumble. And so Paul's like, that's just as bad, actually, as being a hypocrite. That's just as bad as being an unbeliever, honestly. And so we want to be mindful about that. And that brings us to chapter 15. Now it seems like Paul is really shifting the focus of his letter as he finishes. And honestly, it kind of feels like in these last two chapters, he's trying to get a lot in to the final couple chapters, including in chapter 16. I love all the shout outs he gives. And we'll get to that in just a few weeks. But in the last chapter, it feels like he's shifting his focus a little bit more towards some of his mature believers, most of the Jewish converts, those who have a Jewish religious tradition, and now they've come to accept Jesus. And he's saying to them, particularly in chapter 15, help these young converts, help these Gentile converts, those that come from non-Jewish traditions. They don't know the story of Moses and Noah and the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc. They're coming from other traditions, and he's saying, man, be patient with those guys. Help them along. Introduce them to the big story of God's redemption. So I titled this message, The Process of Patience.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had a moment in your life where people were patient with you, but for me, it was my very first job. I got a job at Kroger. Come on, somebody who shops at Kroger, get that organic groceries. But I had this job at Kroger. My first job was a bagger. And I remember my first day on the job, we had to watch how to properly bag groceries. And I couldn't believe I was actually getting paid to watch this video on how to bag groceries. But I quickly, after a couple of months, got promoted, got a 10-cent promotion to the grocery department.
Favor ain't fair.
That's right. I was making $5.25 an hour. Come on, somebody. Ballin'.
And but, it was in the 90s.
It was in the 90s. That's right. It was 1998.
Come on.
And I can remember when my first day in the grocery department, part of the grocery department was you had to make sure all the bread, the eggs, the milk was stocked full, pull, whatever was expired. But part of that job was to actually... when the bread trucks would come in, you had to unload these bread trucks. And so the first bread truck came in, these four guys were like, hey, go get these stacks of trays of bread on it. And they're just like, get that dolly, go get it. And I'm thinking, well, are you going to demonstrate? They're just like, nope, go get it. And so I grabbed the dolly. At this time in my life, I think I'm almost 6'5", and the stacks of these trays are way above my head. And I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm going to get a good old-fashioned try. So I go and I grab that dolly, stick it under those bread stacks of trays, and I start going backwards, and it all comes tumbling down on top of me. And I can hear in the background laughing, and then this frustrating voices of like, because now we got to pick it all up. And then what happened was the milk truck came next. And let me just say, I have spilt more milk in one day than anybody has in their whole entire lifetime. And I thought I was immediately going to be back bagging groceries, but oddly enough, these guys that were laughing, even sometimes saying some other words towards my directions that weren't so Christ-like, they were patient with me in an odd way, and they let me know that they had made the same mistakes and that it was gonna be all right, and that I was gonna actually be able to do this in no time. And so after a while, it became pretty easy for me to unload trucks. And the question that I have for everybody listening today is, have you had anybody just be overly patient with you? And man, how does it affect your life when they do that, you know? And I don't know how many of you have children, but they can definitely test your patience.
Praise God.
Especially my third one. I don't know which one of your four, but my third one can definitely test my patience. And if you don't have children and you want to jumpstart your patience testing it, go ahead and have some children. Plus, it's fun to do that anyways, right?
Or you can babysit my kids.
Or you could do that
as well.
That'll
test your patience too.
But anyways, as we get into Romans 15, I think you're going to see that really what Paul is emphasizing here is that we should be patient with other people, and we should grow in our patience for other people. And there are people in our lives that test our patience. They could be in our family, they could be coworkers, it could be anybody. And I really believe that Paul is saying, hey, let's grow in our patience for those people.
Yeah, in fact, that's the first point of this message, that we need to learn to grow in patience with others. Again, remember that Paul has been challenging us, don't be a stumbling block to other people. And I don't know about you, Bo, but that really challenged me again this week. Like, I think about every area of my life. I just never want to be a hindrance to somebody coming to the gospel. Even the things I joke about, like I got to travel this week and spend a couple days at my home church preaching for three nights, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It was really cool to go back home and to my home church and preach. But like, I know my humor goes well at the church I pastor, but I don't know that my humor goes well at the church I came from. You know what I'm saying? So like, I caught myself saying stuff, and I always have a travel buddy when I travel. So Blaine was with me this time, and afterwards, I was talking to him about some of the things that I was saying, some of the ways that I joke, and he's like, "Man, I don't know that they got your humor." And I thought, "Man, Lord, I don't ever want to discount my testimony or my witness because I'm just being me." You know what I'm saying? And right now, I'm on a sabbatical with social media, so all during this 21 days of fasting, I mean, I check it as very little as possible, but it's off my phone. I have to go really work to get on it. But I'm just thankful that I'm not having to worry about what I post, whether it's a stumbling block. Sometimes even in our freedoms, you know, we got to reconsider that. I don't want to be a stumbling block to others. So then he says also we shouldn't be judgmental to others. He told us to not fight over silly stuff, distance ourselves from one another instead of fighting over different beliefs over certain things. I don't know about you, but I the older I get, like the less I want to get into debates with people about Jesus and my beliefs and theirs. I want to lead people to Christ. I don't want to win an argument to get them to Jesus.
Yeah.
There's room for us, though, within the church to be different. There's room for us to hold different positions and to grow together. And especially as we have been with the Lord for maybe months or years for some of you now and even longer, we need to grow in our ability to have patience for those who are coming into faith. By the way, we're a church that always wants to make room for people that don't belong to Jesus.
That's right.
And you know what that means? They don't believe what we've come to know. They haven't studied the scripture like we have. And Paul starts chapter 15 in verse 1. Look at this. He says, "We who are strong," and I would think that word is not like to puff us up, but it's saying you've just got some experience under your belt with Jesus. You've got some growth in you. He said, "We who are strong, we have an obligation." Look at that word, an obligation. It's not just like, hey, you should think about this. It's like, this is something you must consider. We have an obligation to bear with the failings of those who are weak among us and not to please ourselves. And sometimes it's easy to, like, I'm gonna know what I know. I'm gonna live in my freedoms. I'm gonna do what's right for me as a follower of Jesus, even if they don't understand it, they don't get it. But he said we're obligated to actually care for those who are weak in faith. And by the way, that's gonna be anyone who's a non-believer, everyone who's a new believer, and primarily anybody that's just not figured out some of the things that you've learned. We have an obligation there. I think that's really interesting language for Paul. It's probable that he's most likely focusing more, again, like I said earlier, on the Jewish converts who have been like part of Jewish tradition and religious faith, and they've come to Jesus. They have a long history with being God's people, and now there's already a discipline towards in them and obedience to God's will and God's word, but now Jesus was the motivation for them, and they've come to find salvation through Christ, and he's saying, man, you are obligated to care for these young believers, these new believers. But he's urging these Christians to help those who are in need in Christ, to be mindful that young believers need older believers to help them know Jesus. I just always want to ask, like, challenge our church, like, when's the last time you invested yourself in a younger believer? When's the last time you invested yourself in someone who's weak? Sometimes in ministry, you know, it's easy to get frustrated with people who don't get it, you know, or don't have it understood or figured out. But I got to be honest, I don't ever want to be a pastor like that. I honestly always want to be willing to just kind of take some folks along and give them the give them the encouragement and the pastoral care that they need to come along. It's our obligation, right? So he says, be mindful that young believers need older believers. Help them know Christ better. He said that's their obligation. So I want to challenge you even on the front end. When's the last time you gave yourself, you obligated yourself to care for those who don't know what you know and don't believe in Christ like you believe in Christ? And by the way, it's every unbeliever for sure, and definitely new believers. I'm completely aware that there are so many in our church that are seasoned in faith, and I love that. They know how to connect with God. They know how to build a prayer life. They know how to fast. Like, this season of fasting for them was great and wonderful and normal. They're close enough to Jesus that they can help connect others to God. I've said it like this for a long time in our church, in fact. I think we need spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers at LifePoint pouring themselves into spiritual sons and daughters. And I used to say it like this: if you have gray hair, which I'll be 40 next year, and I realize that that's a younger crowd than I used to think it was. But
for
if you
sure.
do, right? If you're gray-haired, You got something to give to somebody else. So I say, I need all you fathers and mothers to speak up. And then I say, I need all you sons and daughters to shut up and listen and let them pour into you. I mean, we have a growing young adult ministry here and focus and students. We got a new student pastor coming this week. Very excited for that. And but man, I'm telling you, how great would it be for our, oh, you're really excited about that, aren't you? He's been our youth pastor for the last year and as an interim, so he's real excited for that. But thank you, by the way. You've done a great job. I'm proud of you, bro. Very proud of you for that.
Appreciate it.
So I just know we got a lot of students, a lot of young adults, and then we got some folks that are older in the faith, and we need those older folks to come and just pour in. Let's get with Pastor Jordan, get with our new student pastor, and figure out ways that you can pour in to the lives of other people. There's an obligatory expectation, and it's about helping people grow in their walk with Jesus. So when's the last time you invested in someone else's walk with the Lord? When's the last time you took a weaker brother or sister under your discipleship? When have you bore with their weakness? Mm-hmm. You know, that means just put up with their crazy. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes we just want to go, I don't have time for that. They're just, they don't get it. They're messed up. They're, right. No, but you got to bear with that.
Right.
That's a code, that's Paul's way of saying just put up with people.
Right.
And be patient with that. When's the last time that we did that? The temptation is to focus on ourselves, right, what he said, and please ourselves. But man, we can't do that. Part of maturing is the obligation to care for the weak.
Yeah. Look at the next verse. It says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And this is an incredible text that Paul is communicating to all of us, and he's saying, hey, do this, do what you would do for your neighbor. And your neighbor is actually what Jesus would say is everybody that you come into contact with, but do what you do to better their life, invest into them. And, you know, I got to thinking about this when I was preparing for this message that, you know, who is my neighbor? And when we went on a mission trip last year to Tecate, Mexico, I was pumped up. I was super excited to go on this mission trip. We were teaming up with the local pastors in that community to do something really practical, build a home for a family in that community that spiritually allows them and us to have an open door to preach Jesus to them. And as I was in Mexico, I thought to myself, I have not even been friendly at all or introduced myself to my neighbors that live right next door to me. And I thought to myself, I have to get on mission. And when I get back home, I'm going to introduce myself to my neighbors. And my neighbors actually were from Mexico. And I thought to myself, next time I drive by, I need to just say hola or something and start a conversation, because I just want to reach people for Jesus. Wow. And how am I going to pastor in this city of Clarksville, but I won't even talk to my neighbors?
Yeah.
And so I just thought to myself, I got to do something for the betterment of my neighbors, get to know them. And now what's crazy is that every time I drive by, they're waving, we stop, we talk, and it's just becoming this, we're getting a relationship started, and my goal is to introduce Jesus to them.
That's great.
So I wanted to just share that.
It's cool you had to go to Mexico to meet the guy from Mexico next door.
Yeah, I know. It is.
When I was a student pastor, we had this annual garage sale. Everything we did was giant, so it was a giant yard sale. And we took donations for stuff from anybody that wanted to give. So we put a big sign in the yard of the church: if you got junk you don't want, let us have it, and we'll sell it for Jesus, right? So I got this call from an elderly lady who said, I have, my husband has passed, and I have all of his like old fitness stuff and some workout equipment. And I said, great, we'd love to have it. Thank you so much. I can give you a giving letter and all that stuff. And she said, fine. I said, just give me your address, and we've got a truck and trailer ready to go. We'll come by in no time. She said, you don't need my address. Just pull out of your driveway and go directly across the street. I'm the house with the gray roof. And my office was right by the front of the building. And I looked out and I said, you know, is there a blue truck in the driveway right now? She goes, yep, that's my house. I said, okay, I'll be there in no time. So I went over there, and I'd been on staff at this church for 4 years, and that church was started in 1980. This is 2005, and she said, I went and introduced myself, and I brought her a letter, a thank you letter, a giving letter for her tax credit and everything, and I introduced myself, and I said, hey, have you ever been to our church? You know, we'd love to have you sometime. And she said, I have lived in this house since before that building was built, and you're the first person I've ever met from there.
Man.
Same thing, man. You talk about just wreck your life. Where I remember leaving there going, God, what are we doing? Trying to raise money to do ministry and missions for people way over there.
Yeah.
And literally the lady across the street watched the building get built, watched it get filled, then built again. They had gone through two building programs. And she said, you're the first person I've ever met from there.
Man.
And so, you know, here back to the text, Paul's saying, let each one of us please his neighbor for his good. What are you doing for your neighbor? What are you doing for others? What are you doing for people in your life that need to know Jesus? And you remember the text when Jesus is talking about love your neighbor as you love yourself. His disciples wanted to qualify that. And that's what some of you are even thinking probably right now. Well, like, who is my neighbor? Is it people that I like?
Right.
Or what about, well, you know, people with a different lifestyle, or they don't agree with me, or they're from a different religion or a different nation. Jesus is like, man, everybody's your neighbor.
Yeah. Even your family members that have a different political view than you.
Oh, man, yeah.
Everybody that you come into contact with is, in fact, your neighbor that Jesus talked
and
about.
And it's part of that obligation language. It's in that same passage. He's like, you have an obligation to these people. And here the text is saying very specifically, please your neighbor for their good.
Yeah.
To build them up.
Yep.
And so he uses Jesus then as the example, mm-hmm. who, by the way, gave his life for all of his neighbors, mm-hmm. the whole world, for whose good? For our good.
Yeah.
Right? So Jesus becomes this example. It even quotes, as it's written, the reproaches of those who've reproached God have fallen on Jesus. So like all the sin, all the anxiety, everything that we did to God is actually back on Jesus. So he becomes this example.
Yeah.
Of how to bear with one another and how to be patient. And that takes us to the second part of this message. Not only are we to be patient with one another, but it's because God is incredibly patient with us. Can somebody
For
say
sure.
amen? How many of you For thankful sure. that God's patient towards us? Man,
sure.
I blow it so many times, and I just know I'm so grateful that God doesn't keep a tally and go, man, you got three more times, and then you're out of here, buddy. You know, like I tried it with you, but this ain't going to work. He's so patient with us. Verse 4 says, whatever was written in the former days, this is Paul now quoting the Bible, quoting the Old Testament. He's saying, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction so that through endurance, and that's God's endurance and the people of God's endurance, and through the encouragement of the scriptures, in other words, we become encouraged through the stories of God's patience towards Moses and Noah and Lot and Sarah and Abraham, we are encouraged by through the endurance that was there and through the encouragement of the scriptures, the stories about God's endurance, we have hope. I mean, think about that. All of the Bible that they had at the time and now all of the Bible that we have is written for our instruction, yeah. for our encouragement, for our endurance. It shows the amazing grace and the patience of God to wait on the growth and development of his people. I mean, go back to the Bible and read through some of those stories. God showed his patience towards humanity through the story of Noah. I mean, creation, the fall, just three chapters in, and mm-hmm. talk about a patient God. He shows his patience and endurance with people in the story of Moses. I love how God and Moses have this back and forth. There's times where Moses is going, you know, God comes to Moses and he's like, I'm going to kill all of them, man. They just drive me nuts. And Moses is like, look, if I can find just a few. Remember that story? He's like, wasn't that Moses?
I think that's actually Abraham.
Just testing you. You passed.
Whatever. No, it wasn't Abraham. Was it Abraham?
Moses.
It wasn't.
Read your Bible. Anyway, Moses.
That's why you're the lead pastor.
Thank you, Mark. Anyway, in the Bible, there was a guy. And God was like, they're all making me mad. And it was Moses, right? And he says, God, if I can find 40 people that love you, will you not kill them? And God's
that's Abraham.
Man, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
They both did it.
They both did it.
We're both right.
Up top. All right. So, and then finally, God's like, Moses is like, if I can find 10, you know, would you not kill him? God's like, okay, fine. So this patience. And then later, there's a time though when God speaks to Moses, and Moses is like, God, would you just take him out? I can't handle it. God's like, Moses, be patient, my man. Don't forget. Like, this is the battle. And so anyway, God shows his patience through Moses. The story of Joseph. I mean, His desire to provide physically and relationally through the story of Elijah, his desire to protect and honor obedience through the story of Daniel. All the prophets tell the heart of God, his constant calling for us to come close. And that's what Paul's telling us. He's like, whatever was written in former days, all the stories of the prophets about Moses or Abraham or whoever it was about, like it was all written for our instruction, right? Look what the text says. It was all written for our instruction so that through the endurance that we saw in them and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. It reminds me of Paul's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. He says this, all scripture is breathed out by God. And look at what it says about it. It's profitable for teaching us. It's profitable for reproofing us. It's profitable for correcting us. And it's profitable for training us in righteousness. Mm-hmm. So that the person of God, the man of God, may be complete and equipped for every good work. I got to tell you, I mean, if you want to grow in patience that God has towards us, you need to grow in the encouragement of God's patience towards us found in the scripture. You need to get in God's word and you need to see how patient our God is towards us. If you've ever been stressed out about whether or not God still loves you, God's still patient towards you, you need to get in his word. This is why the fast is such a great time for us. It sets us back into the word. We challenge you with a New Testament and 90-day reading plan. I'm going through the whole Bible in a year. Again this year, it was just such a life-changing way for me to read the story of scripture and the whole meta-narrative. But God is so patient towards you. And listen, you can't truly know God if you don't know the word of God. It's his love letter of encouragement and consolation and patience and love towards us. He's patient towards me. I know he's patient towards Bo. He's patient towards all of us. But that's just always how he's been. And he reveals his kindness, his mercy, his wrath, and his expectations towards us through this powerful word of God, his word of encouragement, right? So it's why we preach the Bible the way we do. It's why we focus and give away Bibles at our campuses. It's because we believe in the encouragement and the consolation and the story of God's patience towards us. And listen, that becomes the model. Go back to what we just saw in verse three or four, where it says, just like God, Jesus was patient towards us, we get to be patient towards others. Listen, track with what Paul's saying next, his thread of logic. He says, may the God of endurance and encouragement. I mean, he just said that in verse 4, whatever's written in former days was written for our instruction so that through endurance and encouragement of scriptures. Now he's saying, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you, look at the promise here, grant you to live in such harmony with one another. Here's where the rubber meets the road. When we start understanding God's patience towards us and we start living out God's patience towards others, listen, we start living in harmony with people that otherwise we might have discord with and tension with and drama with. And we go, they're not like me. They don't look like me. They don't live like me. They don't believe like me. They don't politic like me. They don't walk like me. They don't have my freedoms that I have. But Paul's saying, listen, if you can let God be the source of encouragement and patience, then let that come alive in you. Then you, as this collected body of different people, can live in harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus, like in harmony and unity and in one accord, even with Christ, so that together now, with one voice, we glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that is the kind of church I want us to be. I want us to be a place where, man, we're from every different background and we're bearing with the failings of the week and we're different and we make room for each other and we choose not to judge one another, but we're gonna not cause each other to stumble. And then he says, if you'll live this out, if you'll be patient with each other the way God's been patient to you, you'll oversee and overcome all the drama and the stupid stuff. And man, you will be a united people who are glorifying God. You'll be united with each other. You'll be united in accord with Jesus, and you'll be glorifying God with one voice. I want to be a church that's glorifying God in one voice with Jesus. Yeah. And that means we got to be willing to be patient with one another and be patient like God is towards us. How many of you just even watching this can say, I know God's been patient towards me?
Yeah.
So then why in the world can we not be patient towards others? In the same way that God is patient towards us. The whole Bible is a story of God's patience waiting on Christ. And now because of Christ, he's still patient towards us. So we get to be that kind of a church that's patient with one another. We have an obligation to bear with one another, to be patient with one another. And listen, he said, it's like he's calling us to live out God's patience, the same that he has for us, by living as the body of Christ with each other. Man, I don't know. I said this a couple weeks ago. You know, religion trains us to conform to a set of religious habits and patterns.
Yeah.
But Christianity teaches us to conform to an image of Christ.
Yeah.
And this text is doing just that. He's like saying, I don't need you all to be the same. I just need you to belong to the same God. I just need you to belong to the same Jesus. I don't need you to walk the same and talk the same. You can have differences and be patient with one another in the growth process. I just want you to belong to the same ethic, the same patience, the same God. And look what the promise is there. Mm-hmm. Together with Jesus, together with one another, and we'll glorify God. That's the kind of church I want us to be. Can I hear a big amen? Even amen. If you watch, come on, you amen. Guys, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm actually surprised you didn't stand up on that because you was going hard on that section right there.
I was getting my preach on. Yeah. That's my 20th day of fasting preaching right there.
And if you look at verse 7, it says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And Jesus is the model of being patient like you have just communicated to all of us. And why we should be patient with our neighbors, our coworkers. And here's the thing that I find that God really is challenging me. I feel like every week I get challenged in various different ways, but really to be patient with the people that I live with.
Oh, come on.
Because that's the people that I'm typically more short with. You know, sometimes it's easier to be patient with people that you don't know, but the people that you live with in your home, sometimes those are the hardest people to be patient with. And so I feel as we're going through this, I'm like getting super convicted. And part of it is I'm just hangry a little bit in this fasting season that we're in. But the 22nd is coming in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anyways, and what I love about this verse here is that he's saying, really, he's just saying, be friendly to people. Be friendly to people. And that actually welcomes people. And it's an easy way to introduce people to who Jesus is. Yeah. And oftentimes, it's just a smile when you're at the grocery store. It's starting a conversation. It's not always preaching Jesus immediately. It's just being nice to somebody in general. And that welcomes everybody into this family of God. And that's the whole reason what Paul is communicating here is that the gospel is for every single person. There's no exclusivity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what the third point is that the gospel makes room for all people. It's for the Jew and for the Gentile.
That's us.
It's us, bacon eaters.
That's right. Third part of this message, the gospel still makes room for everyone. There's no one under heaven who Jesus does not make room for in his kingdom. There may be people that you struggle to understand how there's room in God's kingdom for, but you're not God. And they may not live like you, follow a lifestyle like you. They may not have grown up like you, even come from the same religion and faith system as you. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean the gospel is not for them. Now, God's going to call them to repentance. God's going to deal with their junk, right? But it's for everybody.
Yeah.
And you started in on the Jew versus Gentile distinction, but really that Gentile is going to be anybody who's not Jewish.
Right.
That's why it's us and pretty much everybody in our church.
Pretty much.
That's going to make this gospel alive to everybody else. Going back to what Paul said at the beginning of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. You want to see the power of God? Go look at what God does through the gospel. Right? It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. There's the thing. The caveat is you got to believe this thing. You got to hear it and discern it and believe it. And listen, anybody can be saved that believes this.
Yeah.
And he said it was to the Jew first because it came, the story of redemption started with the story of Israel and the story of the Hebrew people. So it came to them first, but now he's saying, and it's also to the Greek, it's to the Gentile, it's to everybody else. So now he's telling us that this kingdom and patience of God has been about the whole world coming to Jesus. Verse 8 through 13, you want to pick that up and then I'll close this out.
It says, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to conform the promises given to the patriarchs in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. There's this connection between the insider, who is the Jewish people, the chosen people, and now through Abraham, through Isaac, through this lineage
the patriarchs,
now we are actually included. And sometimes the tendency is, when you were talking just a second ago, the tendency is for us that have grown up in church is to want everybody to conform and look just like us. Mm-hmm.
And really, he's saying and he's communicating all throughout this is that we need to make room for the differences, like we said a couple of weeks ago in this message series. But he's also saying in this is that God has done all of this so that he can include everybody on the face of the planet.
So good.
And that's just super exciting. It's powerful. Yeah. And it should really put us on mission.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. And so then he closes out this part of the chapter by quoting these promises about the inclusion of the Gentiles. Some people think the Old Testament's all about Jewish people and it's all about the Hebrew people. But the fact is, along the way, he's always been saying, man, I want this for everybody. In fact, when he promised Abraham, he said, you'll be the father of many nations, right? It's not just the Hebrew nation or the people, but it's you're going to be the spiritual father of people from all walks of life. And we know that heaven's going to be populated with all languages, all tongues, all tribes. So then he says in verse 9 through 12, he starts quoting the Bible. Watch this. And I'm going to go through these quick and then we'll close. He says, as it is written, I will praise you among the Gentiles. That's from Psalm 18. Again, it said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. That's from Deuteronomy 32. That's in the Torah, right? Again, he quotes, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. I mean, here's David, the writer of the Psalms, writing that even all the Gentiles will praise the Lord, and let all people extol him. That's from Psalm 117. And then again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come. This is referring to Jesus. This is through the lineage of Israel. Even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him, in Jesus, will all the Gentiles hope. That's from Isaiah chapter 11, written hundreds of years before Jesus, written to the Jewish people. So listen, here's a question I have for you. I ask this a lot. Do you believe the Bible, of course? And we want to say, yes, we do. And here the Bible is telling us over and over and over again, especially in these last couple chapters of Romans, will you make room for people? Will you open the way for people not to be stumbling, not to be caught up in religion or stupid arguments? Will you make room for people far from God to come near him? Listen, can we make room in our hearts, in our churches, here at LifePoint, at both campuses? Can we make room for people who don't conform to our image, but they're learning to conform to Jesus? And then can we, who have grown a little bit in this faith walk, can we find our obligation to bear with those who are coming up in this thing called Christianity? And then listen, can we believe God that his gospel is for all people? It's for your neighbor.
Yeah.
It's for the folks in Mexico. It's for my neighbor. It's for the folks that I work with. It's for my colleagues, my coworkers. It's for the people I love. It's for the people I can't stand. Yeah. It's for people who have attacked us. I mean, I can't tell you how many soldiers I've gotten to pray with about a heart for the enemies that they fought in combat who are fighting in the name of a pagan religion.
Yeah.
And I go, Jesus died for them. Man, can we accept that? Can we trust that the gospel is truly for all people? So in case we don't remember, we opened up by asking, do you ever struggle with patience towards anybody, whether it's a new coworker learning how to spill milk, or it's your kids, your third kid. I don't want to say which one of mine because my kid may be watching. I love my children.
I love mine too.
Could be people who stress you out, who aren't like you, get on your nerves, don't act like you, don't think like you, don't politic like you. They may be from all different walks of life. This is what I want to ask you. What if God put people in your life to help grow you in patience towards people, just like God has been patient towards you? And second, what if God put those people in your life because you're obligated to bear with their weakness, to help them grow in understanding and love and mercy and grace, so that they may also become more like Jesus? What if God put those people in your life to make you more like Christ, and also God put you in their life to make them more like Christ? Then what if everybody in your life is a gift from God to make you more like Jesus? And what if you are a gift from God to make them more like Jesus? That's the kind of church I want us to be. We said this when we built the building. We're not building this place for us. In fact, we're out of room again. We got to figure out what to do next. But we're not building more buildings for us. We're building more buildings for them, those who are coming. And we have a big decal on our wall here. It says, we believe we are the church. We don't believe the church exists for us. We say, we believe we are the church and we exist to reach the world.
That's right.
Go back to verse 5 and 6. He says, may the God of endurance and the encouragement and the God of encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord and in agreement with one another and with Jesus, so that now together we may with one voice, even one voice with Jesus, glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I think if we'd live on that kind of mission, with that kind of patience and endurance, I'm telling you, it's the most attractive thing in the world. It's the most attractive way to live. And people far from God want to know, what in the world? What do you have that I need? What do you got that I want? And I think it draws people to Christ. We're better together. We're worse apart. We're stronger united. We're weaker divided. Listen, we need one another to be more like Christ, not more like one another, be more like Jesus. We can't do this life alone. This, by the way, is why we're launching life groups again this week. We're launching life groups. And I want to encourage every single person that's a part of our church, be a part of a life group. And you can get on our website at lifepointchurch.tv. You can select a group, whether you're from the North Campus or the Rossview Campus. Get in a group. You say, well, I don't know. I'm a stranger. Get over that. They're all strange. Are you kidding me? I've been to some of these groups. We're all strange. But this is why we need to do life together. This is why we want you in a group. By the way, this is why we want you on a team, so that you can be growing and fashioned into the image of Christ with other team members who Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. So we want to get you on a dream team and go through our growth track. We have all these systems in place at our church because we want to help you grow closer to Jesus and be more like Him. And I promise you, we desire to be a church that's obligated to bear with you as you make mistakes and as you don't have it all figured out yet. And I just ask, would you be obligated to bear with me and Bo as we are figuring this stuff out too and learning and making mistakes? But I'm telling you, this is the life God's called us to. I wanna invite you, if you can we just stand, even at your computer, and just stand together. I'm gonna have Pastor Bo close us in a time of prayer. But I challenge you to be in a group. I challenge you to be on a team. I challenge you to make efforts to be at your church and to plug in and be connected here. But listen, invite the people around you to belong to this God so that we can glorify God together. There's a passage, I want to say this last thing, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when it talks about spiritual gifts. And Paul the Apostle is like kind of giving some correction about how not to get out of control and be crazy and fanatical with spiritual gifts and things like that. And one of the things he said is, if when an outsider unbeliever comes into that kind of church and all of you are living in the prophetic, you're all saying Jesus is Lord, we got to serve Christ. He said, when an outsider unbeliever comes in, he said he's convicted by all and he's exposed. All the things of his life are exposed and he's called to account and he'll humble himself and say, surely God is among this people. That's the kind of church I want to be, that glorifies God in one accord. Man, we don't have it all figured out. We just have who it is figured out and we're going towards him together. You don't have to be perfect. He's perfect. But let's do this thing together in one accord, glorifying God. Would you pray for us, Pastor Bo? Come on.
Thank you, Jesus, yes, for this Lord. Word. Thank you for Paul's text.
Bless your name,
Romans.
Jesus.
God, I'm asking that we as a church, that we would grow in our patience,
yes, Lord,
with others. Would we first start in our home growing in patience with those that we live with? And then, Lord, would we grow in patience with the people that we work with, go,
yes,
to school,
God,
with?
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Now, God, would you speak to our hearts about welcoming them and, yes, just being friendly and putting a smile on our face?
Hallelujah.
And that we would, yes, do that because we recognize that you have been incredibly patient,
yes,
with us.
Yes.
And God, I just want to thank you that, God, you show us all throughout Scripture, from Genesis all the way to the very end of the Bible, how patient you've been over the generations. And we're so grateful and thankful as a church we,
yes,
can do what Pastor Mike and what the Scripture just said, that we can be one accord, that we don't always have to be conformed to and look the same, but we can be one accord on the same mission. And that's because we're bearing with one another's weaknesses and we're covering each other's weaknesses and we're being patient. And God, would you challenge us as we go throughout this week to remember your word, to stay in your word, to stay in the Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, thank you so much for joining us at LifePoint Church. Can I just ask you, if you've committed your life to Jesus, rededicated or for the first time committed your life to Jesus, pray the simple prayer with me and then let us know. Send us an email to info@lifepointchurch.tv. Don't forget, you can give online for our water filters. You can give any other thing that you want towards mission trips or tithes and offerings, that kind of stuff too. But particularly, we want to see 4,000 water filters given to Convoy. But hey, before we do that, if you've given your life to Jesus or you're ready to do that, pray this with me and then we're going to close out our broadcast today. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, everybody pray this. Say, God, I'm all in. in.
God, I'm all in.
Say, I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
That he died for my sin.
That you died for my
sin. He's patient towards me.
Patient.
And say, I receive his mercy.
I receive
his salvation.
I receive your
salvation. I repent of my sin.
I repent of my
sin.
Ask for forgiveness.
Say, I will live for Christ
for
the rest of my life.
All my life.
In Jesus' name, to God be the glory. Amen and amen. We love you, Life Point Church. Peace out, everybody.